We're going to have two more weeks. This week, next week, we're going to finish up our honor series. Last week, we talked about honoring one another and how our actions and our attitudes need to correspond to be able to honor one another. Today, we want to pick one particular area. Of course, there are many that we can choose, but this goes and lays a foundation of how we can honor one another. In fact, this is one of the things that if we don't take it into consideration, honor would be very, very difficult. And the thing that I'm talking about, I want us to think about today, is on the area of forgiveness. And a lot of times we live lives with a lot of offense. And when there is offense, it's very difficult to say, yes, I choose to honor. I choose to literally put my hand under and lift up, right? That's what the word honor means. And it's very difficult because offense has been taken. And so, today, in the time that we have, I'd like us to just think about our lives, allow God to work in us, through us, and begin to surrender perhaps some of the offenses that we have taken upon ourselves and begin to release it to the Lord. Jesus, and I think most of us know this, when he was hung on the cross, he looked down and he said, Father, forgive. Father, forgive, for they do not know what they are doing. Father, forgive them. Those of you who are taking notes, Luke chapter 23. Verse 34, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they do. All right? And, you know, when God forgives us, and a lot of times we say this, you know, I can forgive, but I cannot forget. How many of you have said that before? Don't even put up your hand. I'm sure at some point of our life, you know, when we have taken offense, we say, forgive maybe, but cannot forget. And we make it a point, to some extent for some of us to, you know, seal it in our memory that I will never forget this, incident, or I will never forget this offense, toward me. And, we struggle with how do we work out forgiveness? What does forgiveness really means? And, you know, a lot of times our self nature takes over and say that, well, if God say forgive, have to lah. But I won't forget. You know, and we put a memory mark on that. But if you look at scripture, and if we are called to be like Christ, right? God forgives and forgets. He forgives and forgets. Hebrews chapter 8, verse 12 tells us this, for I will forgive their wickedness, he talks to the nation of Israel, I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more. I will remember no more. How do we go about coming to the point whereby we can forgive and then echo the words of God and say, God, teach me how to do this. In fact, I can move on because I can choose to remember no more. Turn with me to Colossians chapter 3. Let's look at this scripture and allow the word of God to challenge us a little bit more. All right, Colossians chapter 3, we read from verse 12. Therefore, 3:12, Colossians, okay. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, Since as members of one body you were called to peace. And be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Verse 13 says, forgive as the Lord forgave you. Forgive. Bear with each other. All right. The verse before that, verse 13, right? Right at the top of verse 13. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you have any grievances. Forgive as God forgave you. Now you look at this scripture, Paul doesn't suggest that we should forgive. If it's possible, forgive. He doesn't say that. He doesn't say if things are good and if you are capable, forgive. He doesn't say it depends on the situation, on how, you know, bad it is, or, you know, to what degree, and then you choose to forgive. He doesn't say that. He says, bear with each other. And then forgive. And then he gives the reason, forgive because God has forgiven us. And so if you look at this scripture, forgiveness is not an option. It is a command. Forgiveness is not something that let me think about it first and decide, you know, whether I'll forgive or not. Let me meditate on it and decide a little later. It's not an option. God says, forgive. Because He forgave. It is a command. The Lord, when He taught His disciples how to pray, Matthew chapter 6. Turn to Matthew chapter 6. Verse 12. Let's read from verse 9, huh? This then is how you should pray. Okay? Read this together with me. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Verse 14. For if you forgive other people, when they sin against you, your heavenly Father also will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. And here Jesus teaches His disciples how to pray, and then says, for if you forgive other people when they sin against you, when there is an offense, if you forgive, God will forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, your Father will not forgive you. Let's turn to another scripture, Matthew chapter 18. Let's flip the page, a couple of pages, Matthew chapter 18. And let's read from verse 21. Jesus tells this parable. In fact, if you read the whole chapter, it talks about how we need to accept one another. You know, the verses before talk, Jesus says, you know, don't let these little children, make sure, you know, you don't forbid them from coming and believing. All right, and it's all about reaching out to someone. And then Peter, verse 21, came to Jesus and asked, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Up to seven times? How many times? That's a very interesting question. How many times should I forgive my brother who sins against me. You know, if this fellow, every time I see him, that, you know, he offends me in a certain way, he gives me a punch in the face, maybe, and then we go back home, our eyes blue black, and say, we go before the Lord, and the Lord says, forgive. The next day we go to school, we see this guy, he gives us a kick, and we go back in our devotion time, the Lord says, forgive. Then the next day you go to school or to work or wherever you go, you see your good friend again, inverted commas, huh? And he offends you again, and you go back home, the Lord says, forgive. But how long? And I'm sure all of us, I've asked this question, Lord, how many times? Right? How long am I to tolerate this? And so, it's somewhat a genuine, and I'm sure all of us ask this question at some point, you know, Lord, how long? How many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Up to 7 times, Jesus answered, I tell you, not 7 times, but 77 times. Or in some versions, 70 times, 70 times, it says. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 bags of gold was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. At this, the servant fell on his knees before him. Be patient with me, he begged, and I will pay back everything. The servant's master took pity on him, canceled the debt, and let him go. But when that servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 silver coins. He grabbed him and began to choke him. Pay back what you owe me, he demanded. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, be patient with me, I will pay you back. But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were outraged and went and told their master everything that had happened. When the master called the servant in, you wicked servant, he said, I cancel all the debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you? In anger, his master handed him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother or sister from your heart. Okay, let's just look at this parable and compare these two servants. All right. First, there is this servant who owes the master 10,000 bags of gold. Okay, this is the NIV. All right. NIV says, translates this as 10,000 bags of gold. He owes the king 10,000 bags of gold. And the Bible tells us that he was brought in, and it's interesting to note that verse 25, it says he could not pay. Since he could not pay, the king said, okay, since you cannot pay, this is what you're going to do. You're going to sell yourself, sell your wife, sell your kids, sell everything you have. Okay? So that you can pay back the debt. Sell everything, including yourself. And he goes out on his knees and he begs. And the king says, he has mercy on him and he forgives him. All right? And it's interesting also to note, he said this, you know, when he went down on his knees, be patient with me, he begged, and I will pay back everything. I thought that was very interesting because in the first place, this guy cannot pay. You know, he goes down on his knees and tries to, you know, perhaps maneuver his way out. Because You know, the story already tells us that there's no way this guy can pay back. Absolutely no way. He goes down and he tries to maneuver and, you know, perhaps lie his way out and says, you know, have mercy on me. I'll pay you back. There's just no way you can pay me back. I mean, if the king is going to stand firm, that's exactly what he will say. But he did not say that. He said he had pity on this man and, you know, forgave him. Cancel his debt. And then he goes out, happy man, and he sees one of his servants. So this guy was probably a high-ranking, you know, person in society. He had servants. He sees this other servant, and it records that this servant owes him 100 silver coins compared to him who owes the king a couple of bags of gold coins. Right? 10,000 bags, in fact, it mentions. 10,000 bags of gold coins versus 100 silver coins. He looks at him and says, you know, you owe me 100 silver coins. Cannot pay me and go to prison. The same thing happens in this story. He goes down on his knees and says that, you know, have mercy. I'll pay you back. The interesting thing about this story is it doesn't mention that this guy cannot pay back, as opposed to the first servant who owes, you know, 10,000 bags of gold, cannot pay back. This guy doesn't say that he cannot pay back, but he goes out on his knees and, you know, to beg for mercy, but this servant who had just received forgiveness refused to forgive, throws him into prison. And, you know, when the others saw this happen, reported to the king called him up. And said this, you wicked servant, I cancel all the debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you? He handed him to the jailers to be tortured until he could pay back all he owned. And to me, this is very interesting as well. In the earlier verses, it says twice that this guy cannot pay back. There's no way he can pay back. And he goes around, try to maneuver and says, hey, you know, I'll pay you back. And he doesn't forgive, and the king throws him into jail, alright, handed him to the jailers to be tortured until he can pay back. When is that going to happen? It's not going to happen. So if you understand this, right, if you read that, Jesus in this story is implying that, hey, this guy is going to be tortured forever. Because in the first place, he can't pay back. Now we come to the point now, you know, you read these stories like, okay, God, that's going to take a lot out of us. I mean, if we're honest with ourselves, forgiveness takes a lot. Right? It's not every day that we can go around and, you know, someone can offend us and we go like, it's okay. The Lord has forgiven me, I forgive you, and, you know, walk away with a smile, and all's good. Not easy. But hey, if you look at this story, right, Peter asked, how many times, how often should I forgive? And if you look at this story, it's every time. And what Jesus was trying to get at is, we cannot, must not harbor unforgiveness. The reason we don't forgive is because we keep it inside. We keep that offense. And today I'd like us to think about a couple of things. Number one, I already mentioned that it's a command. Forgiveness is a command. It's not an option. God wants us to forgive. Why? Because He has forgiven us. But with all commands, it's also a choice. If we choose not to obey then a command, then we walk in disobedience. And so, we need to understand that it is a command from the Lord, yet at the same time, we need to make that choice to forgive. God commands it, we need to choose it. We need to choose to forgive. Why? Because God forgave. You know, a lot of times, and I've listened to this so many times, a lot of times get a little bit off focus as well. As I was thinking about this, the Lord said, you know, sometimes we have all our reasons and our theology upside down. Many times we say this. You know, if you don't forgive, that bitterness, that hatred, that anger that you have within you, that offense that you have within you, eats you up. True? Yeah, true. But if you forgive, then what's going to happen is, you know, you experience freedom. Freedom comes upon your life. You are set free and all that. True? True. And so we go about telling, teaching people that that's the reason to forgive. All those things are true, you know, but that's not the reason to forgive. The reason to forgive is because God forgave and it's a command. All this is the benefits of continually exercising forgiveness. And we as believers must not get it upside down, you know. We must not go around and say, yeah, I choose to forgive because if I forgive, you know, I'm going to reap benefits. Yeah, you're going to, you will, you know, it's true. But that's not the reason. And sometimes our motivation to forgive is not God, but what God can give. You understand what I'm saying? And we walk around, we live life, not only in the area of forgiveness, but in many areas, our motivation to do what He has commanded us to do is not Him, but what we can get out of it. And so, some of us go about life, I mean, all of us have, you know, been offended at some point. In fact, some of us can even say every other day, you know, someone offends me, right? But we go around with that mentality that, oh, I choose to forgive because, you know, it benefits me. But we've got to come before the Lord and say, God, I choose to forgive because it's a command. All that is secondary. What are some of the things we can do? Well, firstly, we need to be totally convicted. We need to come to that point of conviction that it's a command from the Lord. There's no way you can run away from that. God commands us to forgive because He forgave us. And then from there, we need to come and say, Lord, teach me, how do I approach forgiveness? Now, there are many things that have been written concerning forgiveness. You know, how we need to forgive. In fact, in the secular world as well, they recognize that, hey, forgiveness is good because it does something to you. And if you're not careful, we just listen to that. But like I said again, I want to emphasize this again. Forgiveness is good. Why? Because it's a command of the Lord. Firstly. Okay? And so, what are some of the practical ways, what are some of the things that we can do to learn or to exercise forgiveness? Many things have been written about it, and you know, some of the most common ones are, you know, number one, recognize that, you know, it's an offense, that you are hurt, somebody hurt you. And then after that, you know, if you can, learn how to empathize, you know, see things from the other person's perspective. All right? Learn how to see things from the other person's perspective. And then, after that, when you see that, you know, decide to show selfless concern and show forgiveness. And then after that, you know, publicly demonstrate that forgiveness. Whether, you know, give flowers or do something, publicly demonstrate that forgiveness and then hold on to it. You know? Okay? You know, there are many, many steps. And but one of the things that you know, sometimes we get caught up with, and this is the system of the world. All right? And this is one area. Some of these things, not everything is bad, okay? Not all the steps are bad. In fact, it's very good. You need to recognize that you're hurt. Okay? You need to recognize that, hey, someone hurt you. You know? But one of the things that if you read secular material, they will tell you to learn how to empathize with the other person. Put yourself in the other person's shoes. I mean, he punched you for a reason, right? Try to understand that. try to understand that, you know, it's okay. And then that will help you to forgive. Huh? How many of you heard that before? Well, you know what the Bible says? Choose to forgive. You know, the thing about forgiveness is that it is very, this is it. It's right there. It's like in your face kind of thing. Okay? It's not trying to, you know. Some of the things I want to share here, I credit to one of my lecturers in seminary, Dr. Phil Corner. He's from Golden Gate Seminary in the U.S. Now it's called Gateway Seminary, I think. You know, he drew out a diagram, okay? And one of the things that he said is that, you know, we were studying all these different models of forgiveness, you know, how different people come up with different models, different steps of forgiveness and all that, you know? And then the thing is this, with everybody, whether, you know, something happened accidentally, whether it happened incidentally or intentionally, offense is created. You know the difference, right? Okay? If you're driving a car, and, you know, you're cruising along, and you hit a, for example, you hit a bump or, you know, some pothole, you lost control, your car swerved, banged into the other person, you know, accident happens accidentally. Offense. But if you are driving your car and, you know, you are going 100 kilometers above the speed limit, and, you know, you're driving at that speed and, you know, you hit a bump and your car swerved, hit the other guy, accident happened, offense, incidentally. You already cross your limit already. Of course, intentionally is, you know, you see the fella, you just go and bang the guy. And whenever that happens, you know, there is an offense. There are two things that can happen that we choose to do. One is we choose to make judgment. The other is we choose to forgive. When we choose to make judgment, something happens within us. If we choose to make judgment, then one or two or both of these things happen. Number one is that, you know, we harbor emotional resentment and, you know, something happens to us emotionally. We are angry. We harbor that anger. And what happens is that will cause us to make to come up with a new offense. Not only did he bang my car, but because I harbor that emotion, I make judgment, and that caused me or will cause me to make come up with a new offense. Now I'm very angry. I wish I could, you know, be harbor. This guy is, you know,
new offense.
Or if it's not emotional, it is, you know, action. Because of that offense that we make judgment, now we choose to act. So we walk up to the fellow and we say, "You bang my car, you wrong." Action is taken. And a lot of times, and sometimes we think of forgiveness, we think about big things, you know. Pastor Selena was talking about, you know, how we need to not be judgmental about those in authority. We're talking about government as well. Because when an offense happens, and when we are judgmental, we create a new offense. And some of us may not, we are quote unquote good Christian, right? You know, we don't go and, you know, paint graffiti on the government building or anything like that, right? But, and so we don't do the action part, but emotionally, something happens, we create a new offense. You know? And we walk around and we're like, government like that. You know, this government. And when there's a Facebook post, like a few times, where does that come from? It comes from a judgment because of a certain offense that we feel was towards us. But what we need to do is we need to exercise forgiveness, non-judgmental forgiveness. And that comes with a choice to truly forgive. And in doing that, yes, we need to acknowledge that there's an offense. We need to recognize that, hey, there's suffering. But we also need to begin to respect, honor, to forgive. I'm using big words and, you know, up there like, what? How do you do that? That person. Coming back to empathy, all right? Some material will tell you, you know, learn how to identify, learn how to empathize with the person, and then after that you learn how to forgive. As far as the Bible is concerned, can you imagine this, okay? Most of us know the story of King David, right? Okay. So he goes around, he's supposed to be at war, he doesn't go to war. He stands up on the rooftop and, you know, he's just wandering around, causes his eyes to wander around, and he sees this, you know, beautiful lady who is, you know, bathing on her rooftop. I don't know why she's doing that, but you know, he sees that and, you know, takes her, then finds out, she's pregnant and plots to murder the husband, Uriah, right? In fact, Uriah is, you know, one of his trusted men. King David's trusted man. He even gave his death sentence to him, you know. Sealed. Take this to the commander and ask the commander to just do whatever I tell him. You know. And that letter, so to speak, the commander opened up, kill Uriah. Sent by Uriah. And David did that. Now, if we have the approach of empathy, this is what we're going to do, you know. We're going to say, well, he's a king, he's got nothing better to do. He's got so many wives, he's standing up there, and he looks down and, you know, I understand that he just needs another wife. Yeah, empathy, right? You know, you try to understand how he feels, you know, as a king. And, you know, he can do anything he likes, so, you know, that's okay for him to, you know, take my wife. Let's say it's Uriah, right? Not my wife, but you. Take my wife and, you know, plot to kill me, no problem. Because I understand that, hey, he's a king. And, you know, I need to feel together with him. You see where this is going? You see where, how sometimes, how ridiculous this can be? But when God says forgive, He doesn't look at us and say, you know, try to rationalize and try to feel with. Do you think Jesus, when he hung on the cross and said, Father, forgive them, he looked down and he said, well, I understand these guys, you know. It was a choice. There are three things that if we want to truly learn how to forgive, that we need to do. I'll share with you three things. Number one, we need to stop being the jury. You know what the jury does? The jury in court sits down and they analyze the facts. They sit down and they analyze who did this at what time and when. And they perhaps analyze and come up with conclusions of motives why people do what they do. So they analyze the facts and then they make judgment and say guilty or not guilty based on the facts. And a lot of times when we think about forgiveness and we think about, hey, you know, there's an offense here, I need to choose to forgive, we consciously or maybe unconsciously take the role of a jury and say, okay, let me lay down the facts of what happened. What's the evidence? Maybe he doesn't need forgiveness. Maybe he shouldn't be forgiven because the evidence proves that, you know, he's guilty. He needs to be punished. What happens then is we make judgment, we harbor a new offense, and then either, you know, an emotional action is taken or, you know, a physical action is taken. So, we need to learn how to stop being the jury. Number two, we need to learn how to stop being the judge. The jury, you know, studies the facts and says, you know, this is what happened. The judge then says, this is the sentence. And for a lot of people, the most common sentence is this: I don't want to talk to you ever again. All of us have said that at some point in our life. If we are honest with ourselves. You know, kids say that all the time. Of course, they don't really mean it, you know. When another kid takes the toy away and say, oh, I don't want to be your friend anymore. Then 5 minutes later, they come back and they're playing again. Right? I wish, that's why Jesus says, you know, I wish we could all be childlike. Right? But we say this as adults, you know. Consciously or unconsciously, we pass judgment. And we say, because of this offense, this is the judgment. We play judge. This is the sentence. Bang. The third thing that happens to us, and we need to learn how not to do this, is, so first one, stop being jury. Number two, stop being the judge. Number three, stop going to jail. Stop going to jail. Sometimes we take the other extreme. Okay? We're like, oh, nobody loves me, everybody hates me, I'm a worm. You know that song, right? And then we choose to go to jail. Quote unquote. We choose to go to jail and we say that, oh, it's okay. You know, I'm the victim. And we choose to walk around with this miserable, you know, I've been offended. Life is so sad. And, well, what to do? God is still in control of all things. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I'm going through whatever I'm going through because of Him. You know, we don't say that out loud, you know, but a lot of times we imply that. And we go to jail. We lock ourselves and say, well, that's it. That's life. Just, you know, take it in. Suck it up, so to speak, and, you know, try to put on a good show. And if we really want to learn how to exercise non-judgmental forgiveness, we need to stop doing all these things. We need to hang on the fact that, hey, it's a command. And yet at the same time, and this is the amazing thing, it's not it's still not going to be easy. And when it's not easy, we know that His strength is made perfect in our weakness. Amen. That's when He comes and He teaches how to forgive. I've been trying to read, you know, some forgiveness stories. I mean, you can read all this on the internet now, right? Those true forgiveness stories. You read of people whom, you know, guy abuse, murder, this girl, mother choose to forgive. Okay. And for most of us, if we are honest with ourselves, we can only say, hey, when I come to that point, I'll really know that's when the real test is. If I ever come to that point, God forbid, right? Whether I can forgive at such a state. But unless we learn right now, in the little things, in the simple things, you go to school the next, tomorrow, you know, this guy punch you. To me, that's small thing. Alright? To be able to learn to forgive, then, to be able to learn to say that, you know, I will not make judgment. Why? Because you just commanded it. Because if I do that, what's going to happen is I'm going to create another offense. But I will choose to learn how to forgive. Truly. Stop being jury, stop being judge, stop going to jail. Acknowledge the offense, yes. Know that it's not of the Lord. But yet at the same time, knowing to recognize the suffering that we go through and still say, God, your ways are higher than mine. I choose to forgive. Help me see this person as how you would see him or her. You know, I think that is a key to a lot of things. And we need to wake up every morning and pray this prayer. Lord, help me see everybody I come into contact with the way you see them. Because that changes all our perspective. Because when we learn how to see the person across the room as how God would see them, we would almost instantly learn to forgive. Forgiveness is a big thing. It's not an easy thing. But you know, those of you who have been in church long enough have heard me say this. You know, we are called to be like Christ, right? And if you want to be like Christ, one of the first things that you need to do is to learn how to give. Because Christ gave. For God so loved the world that He gave. Okay? Here's another one. You want to be like Christ? Just learn to forgive. Because that's what he did. You know, even way before He came. Learn to forgive. Let's bow our heads right now. Father, we come before you and we acknowledge, Lord, that we have offenses. We have offended people, and yet at the same time, we hold offenses, we hold grudges, we hold offense in our lives, we make judgment about every single thing, almost. And about every single person, almost. Father, we pray right now that you will help us to see what we see from your perspective. Help us to see, Lord, your grace, your love, your forgiveness. Help us to see, Lord, the extent of your forgiveness for each one of us. Because you forgave, we must forgive. And so, Father, we pray, Lord, that we would not walk away like that servant who received that forgiveness, so much pardon. Yet, when an offense is done towards us, we get upset. We throw someone else in prison. Forgive us, Lord, for doing that. We do. We have so often done that. Father, we ask that you forgive us. And we ask, O God, that you would teach us your forgiveness. Teach us to have forgiveness that does not judge. Teach us, Lord, to stop being judge, jury. Stop going to jail. Stop putting people in jail, in fact. Change our hearts, Lord. Change our perspective. Change our minds. Change our vision. We want to see like you see. We want to feel like you would feel. So be with us, Lord. As we commit our lives to you afresh tonight and say we choose to follow your command to forgive. Help us, Lord. Would you stretch out your hands to the Lord right now? And so, Lord, we thank you for your forgiveness upon our lives. Upon my life, Lord, thank you for your forgiveness. And Father, we want to choose to honor you. We want to choose, Lord, to forgive others. Simply because you forgive us. Simply because you commanded it. And so, Father, we receive your forgiveness once again. Once again, we receive it, Lord. And we pray, Lord, that you would teach us how to release this forgiveness to all those who have offended us. Give us your grace, your courage even sometimes, boldness to be able to do that. We give you thanks for what you are doing in our lives. Help us, Lord, to honor you and all those that are around us. For this we ask and pray. In Jesus' name, all God's people say, Amen. Amen. Amen.